Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. We're going to talk about little itty-bitty holes this week, specifically patent foramen ovales. Just by way of background, though, approximately 40% of cerebral infarctions cannot be classified as strokes, and this is even after a complete diagnostic workup. These sort of indeterminate strokes are called cryptogenic strokes, and emerging technologies, MRIs and CTs, have led to the suggestion that some of these cryptogenic strokes may be explained by coagulopathies from protein C, free protein S, lupus anticoagulant, and the like. The cryptogenic concept is one of a diagnosis of exclusion, and these are strokes that occur in people usually less than 55 years old, and again, all of them without an identifiable cause. It's been hypothesized that many of these cryptogenic strokes are caused by small emboli that travel from the legs to the right atrium during straining, such as a Valsalva or something like that. These emboli can go across a patent foramen ovale into the left atrium and then travel northward to the brain, producing a stroke. The problem is that these are very small emboli, usually 1 to 3 millimeters, and we can't actually show the emboli crossing from right to left. However, larger emboli have been observed by echocardiography to be trapped in the patent foramen ovale. So the diagnosis of these cryptogenic strokes is a diagnosis of exclusion that, at least at present, is difficult to verify. The abstract this week asks the question of what is the risk of a recurrent stroke in patients with cryptogenic stroke and a patent foramen ovale who are treated medically. Mark, this article was published in the journal Neurology. What did the authors find?
Well, I don't think it's the final answer, but it gives us a little more information on this. This has become a pretty hot area. I think my father had a TIA a couple of years ago and went through this process where they thought he had a small patent foramen ovale, and I ended up looking through the literature at that time and was not at all convinced by what I was seeing, and yet the surgeons were recommending sort of a non-invasive surgery to go and patch it, and you know, we ended up not doing anything and it's never recurred, but it really highlighted this area that people are charging forward and screening for and diagnosing and treating really in the absence of a lot of good evidence. As you said, quite a few strokes don't have a clear identifiable cause, particularly in younger patients. And in this study, the authors tried to find all of the observational studies that they could find on treatment of cryptogenic stroke in patients with patent foramen ovale. They found 15 studies, about 2,500 patients. One study randomized patients to either aspirin or warfarin. One study had them all take aspirin. Most of them let the patients and their doctors choose whether to take aspirin or warfarin, but very few were left untreated or unanticoagulated. Most importantly, four of the studies with 1,100 also had a group of patients who didn't have patent foramen ovale. So those were a little more useful. In those studies, the risk of a subsequent TIA or recurrent stroke was similar between the two groups. The pooled rate of recurrent TIA or stroke was 4 per 100 patient years, and the pooled recurrent stroke rate was 1.6 per 100 person years. There was another meta-analysis of case control studies, and that one estimated that at least a third of the patent foramen ovale discovered in patients with cryptogenic stroke were incidental, using a somewhat different methodology. So if we have somebody with a cryptogenic stroke, those with a patent foramen ovale who took aspirin or warfarin appear to do just as well as those without a patent foramen ovale. So it certainly isn't, you know, strong evidence in favor of treatment. If anything, it says, well, maybe put them on an aspirin, and they should do just as well as if you had never seen it before. We still need a decent randomized trial where they randomize patients to surgical closure, maybe a non-invasive surgical closure versus aspirin versus warfarin versus nothing, and see what happens.
So as is often the case, Mark, with many of our POMs and many of our treatments, the bottom line is probably just a word of caution. And just because somebody has a documented small patent foramen ovale, or even if they don't, that it looks like medical treatment may be the better part of valor?
Yeah, I think I would be hard-pressed to get too excited about an invasive procedure. I mean, I think you might be able to make a stronger argument if it was a larger patent foramen ovale, or if somebody had had recurrent strokes, or if somebody was a much younger patient with a long, life ahead of them. The procedure might make sense. But on the other hand, if you've got somebody where you're just going to put them on Plavix or put them on aspirin, that's probably going to be as good as anything else you could do for those patients.
Right.
So again, we need the better data. Hopefully that's going to come out in a few years, but until then, I would be cautious about being too aggressive in treating this.
Great. Interesting abstract. Thanks, Mark, for your ideas and thoughts, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next week.
All right. See you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.